Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, this morning we'll come to the end of Revelation chapter 6, and realizing of this seal that again is opened up, and what we see in the opening up of these seals. You remember that the seals, the seven seals that are spoken of here, is like the opening of a book. As you open the first seal, it opens up a little bit. Second seal opens up a little bit further so that you can see the contents of the book itself. And in seeing the contents, you can be prepared, as the scripture reveals to the churches of Asia Minor, how they are to respond to this impending judgment that is coming upon Jerusalem in 70 AD. Now, before we get to Revelation 6, again, I want to set some groundwork because of the fact of our biggest problem in reading, especially the book of Revelation, but a lot of scriptures, is that we read them through Western eyes. We read them through our life and our experiences, and we think that they're speaking directly to us. Now, there is a principle teaching that's given to us. They are spoken indirectly to us, but there are direct things spoken of to certain peoples in the scriptures that are not directly spoken to us. And this is what I'm trying to get across when we come to the book of Revelation. Now look at our scripture reading, and let's take a look at a few things there in Matthew 24. And if you have your Bibles, get your Bible ready, because we're gonna look back into some Old Testament texts. I'm gonna show you the apocalyptic literature, the certain phrases that are spoken of here, what we call Matthew 24, the little apocalypse, and then in the book of Revelation. And you'll find, as I told you, my position in the book of Revelation, that it is aiming towards the destruction of Jerusalem at 70 AD. And it was spoken directly to the seven churches in Asia Minor, preparing them for the persecution that Nero was going to bring upon the church, but then ultimately, which the Lord Jesus Christ was going to unleash against the apostate Judaism. And so as we look at 24, Matthew 24, let me point out a few things to you. First of all, in Matthew 24, notice that verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came up to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, I asked you this last week, who's the them? It's the disciples. It's the antecedent. The disciples are the ones that Jesus is directly speaking to. And he told them, do you, the you is a plural in the Greek, so he's speaking to the disciples, do you see all these things? Surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another, and that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came and privately, notice he's got a private teaching that's going on here with his disciples. And he's telling them, he tells them in verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you. He's speaking directly to his disciples about not being deceived. You saw that as we read about the false Christ and the false teachers that would come. And Jesus is warning them. He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now you understand that, don't you? So when you read you, it's not speaking directly to you and me. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Has principal application for us, but it has direct application to that first century audience in which he spoke. He said they would hear of wars and rumors of wars, and they were not to be troubled. These things come to pass. But the end is not yet. My question that I had to you last Lord's Day is the one that I pose to you now. The end of what? Well, immediately our Western mind, the end of the world. I mean, what could it be? It's not what he's referring to. Jesus has already told them about the destruction of the temple. And that's what they're talking about. The end. When is this going to come? When is this end going to come? When is the end of the Jewish age going to take place? The Levitical priesthood. Judaism as we know it. The temple sacrifices. The types, the shadows, the figures. When is that going to happen? That was monumental in the life of the Jew. It was that temple worship, is gathering together to worship the Lord and offer sacrifice. Jesus said that nations would rise, kingdoms, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. These are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows of the fall of Jerusalem. That's the beginning of sorrows that he's speaking about here. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. He's not speaking about me and you. He's speaking privately to his disciples that they would be delivered up. They're going to be hated by all nations. They'll be offended and all the other things. False prophets will arise. Lawlessness. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Saved from what? Is this eternal salvation by perseverance? No. Saved from the calamities that is coming upon Jerusalem. The gospel is going to be preached in all the world. You know the word world there? As we saw in the ladies' Bible study this last Thursday. The word world in the Greek can be used in at least three different contexts. It can refer to the cosmos as we know it. It can refer to a world system as John speaks of it in 1 John 2. Love not the world or the things in the world, that world system. And it can speak of what's called the Greek term oikomene, the known world of the day. And that's what he's speaking about. The gospel is going to be spoken in the known world of that Palestine day. And then, notice, therefore, when you see, not you and me, when the disciples who were gathered together privately to Jesus, when they see the abomination that makes for desolation, which Daniel spoke about. Daniel prophesied of what the disciples were going to see. The abomination that made for desolation was the apostate Jews continuing to offer sacrifice in the temple even after Christ, the Lamb of God, gave himself once and for all for the sins of his people. To go back and to offer another sacrifice was an abomination to the Lord, and he destroyed their temple. Wrath, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2, has come upon the Jews to the uttermost because of this abomination. We are not in Judea, are we? That's what he says. Those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. That's speaking of you and me. How are you going to do that? You're going to run over to Jerusalem, to Israel, and you're going to get to Judah, and you're going to then flee to Judea into the mountains? Let him who is on the housetop go down. He goes on, and he notice what he says with the apocalyptic language. Verse 21. There will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. And he says, you are going to see false prophets, false Christ come. Then in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, I think I've already just shown you from Matthew 24 that the tribulation spoken of is not something that's future. This is something the disciples were being prepared for. How do you know that? Well, just keep your finger right there at verse 29 and look at verse 34. And this is what Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you. Again, I ask you, who's the you? It's his disciples privately as he's speaking to them. You, this generation. In Scripture, a generation is always 40 years. That's what a generation is. This generation. The Greek text, this, is a near demonstrative. It means this generation to which I speak. This generation will not pass away until all these things take place. What things? Everything that he's spoken from verse 1 to his disciples. So you know this tribulation is spoken of with regards to the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. It wasn't something that we are looking forward to. We look back to what has taken place. They were looking forward to it. They were realizing it was something that was coming. And it did. It did about 40 years later. That's 70 AD. And here, going back to verse 29, notice what he says. There will be tribulation in those days. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Let me ask you one question here. If this is literal, if this is a literal falling of the... Do you know how big a star is? Do you know how much bigger a star is than the earth? Do you know what happened if a star hit this earth? What would happen to us? Would there be an earth? You know, he's not speaking of a literal event of a star falling upon the earth. He is using symbolic, figurative language to speak about a literal event that's going to take place. He's using figurative language to speak of a literal event. Well, you'll find what this event is. The sun is not going to give its light. The moon's going to be turned into blood. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. The Greek rendering of that is the sign that the Son of Man is in heaven. Not that they're going to see him literally, physically coming. It's going to be a coming of Christ in judgment. But it's not going to be a literal physical coming. That's going to come at the end of time as we know it. He's speaking here of coming in judgment upon Jerusalem in 70 AD. Now, this is the language which is called the apocalyptic language of Scripture. And this is where I go back to the point. We don't understand this because we don't read the Old Testament. They didn't have any problem understanding what Jesus was talking about because they knew the Old Testament. You know, when Jesus came on the scene and the disciples, when they saw him, Nathanael says, "We found him who was promised and written of by Moses." Could you do that? Could you go back to the first five books of the law and show me where it's prophesied about Jesus? Could you, as a Christian, go back into the Psalms, the Proverbs, the teachings, the prophets, and show me that it's prophesied about Jesus coming? That he is the Christ? They said specifically, "We have found Jesus who is the Christ, the one Moses read about." Moses wrote about him. That's what Jesus said. If you believe Moses, you'd believe me because he wrote about me. He spoke about me. So getting that context is important when you come to the book of Revelation. Because John is speaking to the seven churches of Asia Minor, preparing these churches for the wrath that is going to come. Now turn to the text this morning. Revelation 6 and verse 12. John looks, and when he looked, he saw opened the sixth seal. Now, we don't have all of the seals open. The book isn't completely open. But even if it wasn't completely opened, there are things that you could see in the book. You could see the contents. It's a preview of things to come. And that's what is meant by the opening of the seals. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood." Notice, like blood. It's using the figure. It's an analogy. It's not saying that the moon became blood, became like blood. "The stars of heaven fell to the earth." Again, I asked that question. If a star fell to this earth, what would happen to the earth? Be decimated. Stars are bigger than the earth. And so, even as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Now, this language, let me prove this point. Turn in your Bibles, we'll start a number of scriptures I want to look at. Isaiah chapter 2. This is the importance right here of understanding Old Testament teaching that lays the groundwork for you to be able to read the book of Revelation and know exactly what this language is referring to. Isaiah chapter 2. And here is my contention before we read these. What John is referring to is the fall of a great city, and the great city is Jerusalem. This is where Jesus goes out to conquer, and he's conquering. He comes out and he rides on the white steed and he comes bringing the sword of judgment against the apostate Jews. And as the temple is overthrown and Jerusalem is ransacked, it will be cataclysmic. When he speaks in this way, astronomically, he is not speaking about these things falling to the earth. He's speaking about a great event that's going to take place, and it's as like the cosmos that was turned upside down. That is the Old Testament literature and language with regard to the judgment. God comes riding on the clouds of judgment. He doesn't literally come. He comes in judgment, maybe bringing a nation, a foreign nation, a pagan nation, a hateful nation, to judge his people. And then he judges that nation for the work that he does with his people. That's how God comes. Now notice Isaiah 2. Not a long scripture references, but let me read through these. Notice verse 1. The word of Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. All right? Now jump over to verse 12. Speaking about Judah and Jerusalem. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low upon the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon the ships of Tarshish, upon all the beautiful sloops. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be brought low. And the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he will utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. This is what the Lord is talking about, the judgment that's coming upon Jerusalem and Judah. Look at Isaiah 13. This is a burden against Babylon. Babylon was a mighty city. Verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel with both wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. And the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light, and the sun will be darkened in its going forth. And the moon will not cause its light to shine. And I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than golden wedge of Ophir. And therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Again, notice the judgment he's going to bring upon Babylon, and he speaks of it in this apocalyptic, figurative language, as if this great nation, when it comes down, is going to be like the constellation has fallen. Another one in Isaiah chapter 34. Speaking of the nations, let the earth, verse 1, let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all things that come forth from it. For the indignation of the Lord is against all the nations, and his fury against all the armies. He shall utterly destroy them, and he has given them over to slaughter. And their slain shall be thrown out, and their stench shall rise from their corpses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And the host of heaven shall be dissolved. And the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine and the fruit falling from the fig tree. That's almost a direct quote that we have in the book of Revelation, speaking again about the fall of nations. You get the point with regards to this language that's given? Isaiah 50 verse 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23, I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void, and the heavens had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled, and all the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. I beheld, And indeed, the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all the cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord in His fierce anger. I could go on with this. Jonah speaks of the same thing to Nineveh, about the fall of Nineveh. Ezekiel speaks about the same thing. Malachi speaks about the same thing. Beloved, this is apocalyptic language taken from the Old Covenant, and the people of God at this day would understand exactly what this literature meant, what the signs and symbols meant. They would be prepared for the wrath that was going to come. They would get out. They would flee to the mountains. They would escape the wrath of the Lamb that was coming upon the apostate Judaism. This is what the direction of all of the book of Revelation is speaking about, except for the literal physical coming at the end of the age, which some portions speak to that, but not here. Here is the downfall specifically of Jerusalem. And when the Lord brings the judgment upon them, it's going to be as the constellations have fallen. One of the things that I've said before is that one of the proofs about the early dating of the book of Revelation, probably 66 AD, not 95, but 66, is the fact that there is no mention of the destruction of Jerusalem, just its impending doom. That means to say, as the temple worship was monumental in the life of the Jews, it hadn't happened yet. It hadn't happened by the writing of John, this apocalypse. There is just no way this would not have been included in this literature. So you see the setting. You see this opening of the sixth seal. You see what Jesus is doing. And He's bringing judgment upon the apostate Jews. Now, how does that deal with us principally? Beloved, the Lord takes worship serious. The Lord takes your faith in His Son serious. The Lord takes the service in the kingdom of Christ serious. You remember the seven churches of Asia Minor and how the Lord rebuked most of those churches, especially Laodicea, the church of the lukewarm people. Oh, they had great wealth. They were a spectacular looking city. They had all kinds of commerce going through there. They had a lot going for them. But they were neither hot nor cold. And Jesus said, I would spew you out of my mouth, for you're lukewarm. Ever had lukewarm milk? Or lukewarm water? Lukewarm drinks. We want them hot or cold. Hot coffee or cold coffee? Not in between. Jesus spews them out. Now that's a question for you and I, isn't it? How are we responding to the gifts and the callings that the Lord has given to us? How are we serving Him and His kingdom? How are we preparing ourselves for the wrath of God that is coming against the whole world at the end of time? He's coming to judge. You know He's coming to. 16 times in the book of Revelation speaks about the wrath of God coming against the earth. The wrath of God coming because of the rebellion of man against the cosmos, against the one who rules and reigns in this cosmos. The sovereign potentate, who man rebels against, who man will not submit to. His wrath is coming. We think, oh, it can't happen to us as the church. Surely it can't happen to us. Jesus talked about removing the candlestick about those who would not bow and worship Him. Beloved, this is not about you. Worship, sermons, preaching, the singing, it's not about you. It's about Him. We're here for His glory, for His honor, for His praise, for His worship. We like it to be about us. Well, I didn't like this, or I didn't like that, or the prayer was too long, the preaching's too long, service is too long, oh, whatever, the lights aren't bright enough. We complain and we cry about everything. It's not about you. It's about Him. I didn't get anything out of that sermon. That's not the question. The question is, what did you give? Because that's what worship is. Worship is a verb. We give of our worship to the Lord. We sing of the songs. We confess our faith. We bow to His Word. That's a principle that we can learn right here from this seal being opened up, that Jesus is going to bring this tribulation on the apostates. He is going to judge hypocrites. The stars from heaven fell from the earth. It would be as if the constellation was turned upside down. Stars are spoken of in Scripture as governments, as ruling. Do you remember the dream that Joseph had? He had a dream that the stars would bow down to him. The sun, moon, and the stars. Jacob knew exactly what that was. Is it, am I and your mother and your brothers going to come and bow down to you? It's ruling, governing bodies that were going to be overthrown. It was going to be as if the constellation was turned upside down. It was going to be, as verse 14, the sky receded like a scroll then rolled up. See that imagery? Ever open up a scroll and then you pull your hand and that thing zips right back up? That's how it's going to be when He brings judgment upon the apostate Jews in 70 AD. And they are going to be like people mourning, crying for the rocks to fall on them. You'd rather be dead than have the wrath of the Lamb come against you. And this is what Jesus says. Islands were removed out of its place, the kings of the earth and the great men. Notice all of them at that time, they're all going to be overthrown. There is a change. Jesus said to the Jews that the kingdom of heaven has been taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits thereof. It's been given to the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Jews and Gentiles brought into one new man, the church. It's been ripped from them. And here it is right here. We're seeing this ripping taking place. We're watching what's happening here. It's being taken from them. No longer to just to the Jews. It goes to the Gentiles. Even the Apostle Paul speaks. I go to the Gentiles. I wash my hands of you. I leave the synagogue. You're not worthy of the gospel of Christ. I go to the Gentiles. Beloved, that speaks to us volumes about how we treat the gospel. Of how we respond to the gospel. Are you bowing your neck to the yoke of Christ? Have you truly believed on Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Him? Are you playing church? Are you going through the motions? Are you here because the truth is taught, is preached, or are you just staying with the bricks? I was born and raised here. I got no rhyme and no reason of why I'm here. I'm just staying with the bricks. If you truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the water of baptism, the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper points us to salvation alone in Jesus Christ. That is not our salvation. Christ is our salvation. Have you trusted Jesus Christ? If you believed on Him, why do you have to be said day in and day out? Because we go through the motions and we become lazy. There's a lot of lethargy that sets in and we become lukewarm. Beloved, when's the last time you spoke to somebody about Jesus? And I'm not talking about the Jesus of your own imagination. I'm talking about, look at the Jesus here, the wrath of the Lamb. The one who comes in judgment to judge all those, and He comes in flaming fire, bringing vengeance on all those who believe not the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1. Read it for yourself. Christ comes in judgment. When is the last time you spoke to anybody about the judgment of Christ to come? That the Lamb is going to come to bow the knee to Jesus. That there is only one way of salvation. This inclusivism which we have in our world is cosmic treason. There are not many ways to God, there is one way. And we are to proclaim that one way, and His name is Jesus, and none other. And we are to call all men everywhere to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the calling of the church, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. We are the people of the truth, and we are to speak the truth. How have you handled and stewarded the gifts that the Lord has given to you? Have you rejoiced in the gospel of salvation? The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and the rocks and the mountains. What are they running from? What are they hiding from? Just like Adam in the garden when he sinned against the Lord. Now it's hiding time because he's coming. And what are they seeing? They're seeing the cosmic wrath of the king brought against them. They're seeing the Roman armies come in and ransack Jerusalem. They're seeing the temple being destroyed. They're seeing the Gentiles trampling it down underfoot and offering sacrifices to pagan idols in the temples. They're seeing it, this abomination, and it's coming. And it's coming with full fury. The Lamb of God who treads out the winepress. Do you know what a winepress is? We'll see it again in here. A winepress is squeezing out every fiber of that grape. That's the wrath of God. He is the one who brings that judgment, and he is the one who grinds that wheel. And beloved, because it grinds slowly, don't be mistaken. Don't think it doesn't grind. The mountains and the rocks, they cry out to fall on us. And notice these are the ones crying out who see the wrath of the Lamb coming. And they see the wrath of the Lamb in the overthrow of the temple in 70 AD by Titus, the Roman emperor, who brought the armies against Israel and destroyed and ransacked and overthrew Jerusalem. And they were seeing that judgment. And they knew that it was from him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb that they rejected. He came calling all men to repent. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of the living God. To those born not of blood, nor of the will of men, not of the flesh, but born of God. He came to the Jews, and they rejected him, and they crucified the Lord of glory. And he comes in vengeance against those apostate Jews. And he destroys them. For the great day of the wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Now let me say this, beloved. This wrath that came and destroyed the temple is the same wrath that's going to fall upon those who believe not the gospel of Christ. There is no second chance. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear his word and he's speaking to your soul, you trust in him. You cry out to him. I mentioned this before. If you can't go to the Lord with a believing heart, go to him for a believing heart, because only he can give it. The Jews despise the gospel, and the church today despises many of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It despises the sacraments. It wants more. Every time we want more things, we despise the ordinary means that God has given to the church. The preaching of the gospel, the holy sacraments, prayer and fellowship. Have you believed on the Christ of Scripture? This wrath is coming. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There is escape. There is forgiveness. And it's found only in one. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. These things, beloved, are written for us as examples. Not only told us what happened to Jerusalem, but it also, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, these things are examples for us so that we should not do the same things as they did in the early church. Sit down, eat and drink, and rose up to play. It's all about funsy, right? No, it's a serious life of worship of God. We enjoy many things, but don't take worship flippantly. Don't take the service of the Lord flippantly. God calls us to be serious-minded in our prayers, in our worship, in our service, for His glory, for His honor, for His praise. Let us learn what happened to the apostate Jews and how they rejected the gospel, crucified the Lord of glory, who then returned as a conquering king in judgment in 70 AD and tore down their temple. Let that not be us, beloved. Let us not be us that in rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ as a church. Let us value and prize the gospel as the pearl of great price. Sell all our goods to have that pearl of great price. Amen. Shall we pray?